All right, welcome to the Bitter Comics Comedy Podcast. Here's your host, Mr. J.T. Foreman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 58 of Bitter Comics. I am J.T. Foreman, and I am here with my good friend, Matthew. I fucked with your sister, Melanche.
Go fuck yourself, man.
God, I love
Sorry,
you.
Mr. McCobb.
Jeff McCobb was on last week's episode, so... I'll get you to tell us the story later. Actually, Matthew, the Ranche Melanche, and it is not Melanche, it is Melanche.
Yes.
Matthew Melanche. Melanche does sound a lot more,
a little bit.
It's like,
well, just, okay, so that name actually.
Ranche Melanche.
There you go, Ranche Melanche. But, like, my last name, it's actually when the France invaded Mexico and raped and pillaged all their lands and stuff like that, somehow we got bastardized French into like the Spanish language, because I'm half Mexican, but my name is technically French.
Okay, all right. Well, you have to do something to get over that French thing to make yourself more manly. So rape works.
Yeah, why not?
Well, hello, and thank you for where am I? God damn it! I'm just fucking everything up today.
It's all good, man.
Welcome to episode 58 of the Bitter Comics. We begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode. This is episode 58, so for my insensitivity in episode 57, I would like to apologize to black people.
Sorry, Negroes.
Aborigines.
Sorry, Kiwi Negroes.
Kiwis are from Australia?
Yeah, Kiwi, Australia, New Zealand, the fruit and the bird.
Yeah, that's more original than me. I would have probably just gone with like kangaroos or platypuses.
Wallaby fuckers or whatever.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that. That's cool.
I think you should apologize again after that.
What's the name of that tube horn thing that they play?
The vuvuzela or the didgeridoo?
No,
one of those
the didgeridoo. The didgeridoo. Vuvuzela was South Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the didgeridoo. And what's that spinning thing that Paul Hogan was messing with in Crocodile Dundee 2? Remember he's standing up on the ledge on the mountain out in the outback and he's spinning that thing around and it's going wrong, wrong.
Oh, fuck. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Ah, crap. If anyone knows the name of that, send us an email. Let us know. Because I could just look it up on the internet. You know, I am actually recording this on my laptop, which has Wi-Fi, but that would take effort. I'd rather make one of you send me an email.
Lazy.
What else? I need to apologize also to mayonnaise, pregnancy, and strippers' vaginas.
It's kind of weird that you named all those things. I think if you had named any of them, the other ones are just implied within the context.
Yeah, you're probably right. Those are definitely more than just a little related to each other.
Oh,
mayonnaise,
yeah.
Pregnancy, and strippers' vaginas.
Oh, God.
More than just a little bit related. Yeah. One of the reasons I can't put mayonnaise on my sandwiches anymore is because I went to a strip club, she showed me her vagina, and she was pregnant.
Ugh.
And yeah, I can't eat mayonnaise anymore. Actually, I can't go to strip clubs anymore. When I was in the Navy, you know, the other guys I was stationed with on the ships, on the bases, you know, they would go to strip clubs all the time and drag me along sometimes.
Yeah, strange pussy, man.
And, you know, my buddy Steve, when I lived in Houston, he loved the strip clubs. I don't like strip clubs for the same reason I don't really like the mall. I don't like the window shop. You know, because I know I can't afford the shit in the store. And if I see something I like, I want to be able to buy it and take it home. I mean, why am I torturing myself? I can, you know, get free porn on the internet and masturbate to that. I don't need to go to, because, you know, you actually can go to a strip club and if you see something you like, buy it and take it home. But it's just really expensive.
I'm sure.
And it's illegal in this state.
Damn, Cali.
I know. And actually, there's only a few counties in Nevada where it's legal. Actually, I always say that if I were to ever win a bunch of money in the lottery, you know, a lot of people have all kinds of fantasies. So what they would do if they won millions and millions in the lottery, I would build a house next door to the Bunny Ranch. I mean, you've heard of people with $5,000 a day cocaine habits.
Oh, yeah.
I would have a $5,000 a day pussy habit.
Oh, dear.
I am addicted. I'm addicted to pussy.
There's no rehab for that, is there?
No, there is not.
There's no methadone clinic for pussy. You know,
no, there's
like
no...
this faux pussy where you get just, yeah, you know, lick it or sniff it or whatnot. I guess you can get a fleshlight.
Yeah, you can't wean yourself off of the vagina by masturbating.
Nope.
It's like, well, okay, masturbate twice a day and then masturbate once a day and then masturbate once a week.
I mean, I guess.
You can't, there's no cutting back, like, you know, do a pack and then half a pack. And yeah, there's no, you know, fake cigarette that you can,
yeah,
you know, there's no fake masturbation.
I guess one way you can, like, you know, try to wean yourself off of pussy is through masturbation. I guess just squeeze like a handful of tuna, just get like give you that kind of smell, and you can just kind of like, you know, lube up your hand and kind of pretend it's a pussy, and just, you know, it's a complicated system.
I was known as Joe Tuna for too long as it is. I don't want to go back to that particular nickname.
Fair enough.
So that's where the JT comes from.
No shit.
Yeah, actually it does. You've heard me do the bit about when I think I lost my virginity.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. If you guys want to know what that bit is, come see me do comedy sometime and ask me to do the bit about when I think I lost my virginity. Usually it's open mic at Ty Palms on Monday nights, but I do a bit about that, so I'm not going to do it here. Well, anyway, if anyone out there would like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, we got way off track, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to know why I'm apologizing to each of these things, just to bring you back up to speed, black people, aborigines, mayonnaise, pregnancy, and strippers' vaginas. If you want to know why I'm apologizing, just check out episode 57 and all our previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you'd like to subscribe to my podcast, go to that website and scroll down a little bit. On the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on to subscribe using iTunes, Google, or your My Yahoo account. And if you feel I owe any additional apologies, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com. And in the subject line, please put, "Being a drummer is crap."
And I feel like we're actually somebody's going to type in, if they hear this later on, they're probably going to say, "You should apologize to Mr. McCobb, guest host of last week's
episode." I'll be apologizing to Jeff McCobb next week.
If you're going
to
make me explain this
and
shit.
As soon as I say, yes, I'm going to make you explain it because it is a funny story.
You son of a
go
bitch.
Go ahead and tell us about what happened.
This is... I apologize in advance, Jeff, Shannon, the entire McCobb family. I just hope you don't listen to this. Quite
Shannon funny. Is...
We're not. Let's not go along with fucking names, okay?
Okay.
Well, too fucking late, I guess. Anyways, so it was like last September, I think.
Let's use more friendly terminology.
Okay.
To try to buffer the impact of the story. For instance, don't say, "I beat the shit out of." Say, "I punched." You know what I mean? So don't say, "I fucked." Just say, "We made love."
This was not love. Okay, if there was a baby out of this, it would not be a love child. It would be a hate child. Which sounds like a Spinal Tap song.
I'm not saying to reflect reality here. I'm saying be nice about it. Come on. We had sex. How about that? Is that a happy medium?
Sure, sure.
That's in between made love and fucked.
Not, yeah.
We had sex.
Okay. So I hosted a rugby party last September. And kind of got drunk, passed out. I wake up, woman on top of me. I'm too drunk to really fight back, don't really care. So that happened, okay?
Okay.
And so fast forward.
Wait, so she raped you. Technically, you're wasted, okay? A person who is drunk cannot...
So much for sugarcoating the words.
A person who is drunk cannot give consent. If you have sex with a drunk person, you are raping them by California state law.
Good thing Seriously. No cops listen to this.
Okay, so you were raped. All right, so this person raped you. Continue.
Yeah. And it gets worse. Thank you, JT. So it does get worse.
I think maybe she owes you an apology.
We're cool.
You're going to let it go this time?
We're cool.
There's forgiveness in your heart. You're a good man. You're a good man. There's forgiveness in your heart. Someone did something awful to you, violated you when you're unable to defend yourself, and you are willing to let bygones be bygones. You are better than man than I am.
It made me a stronger person.
I see that. I see that. Jeff is going to kick my ass the next time he sees
me. I better get in the
Continue.
Way room. Anyways.
I better start working out.
Okay, so yeah, fast forward I actually went to the open mic at Ty Palms in April and ran to Jeff McCobb through my buddy Andrew Boydston. We started kicking it for a little bit. We went back to our apartment and we started smoking pot as college kids do. And when I
excuse me, they have their weed cards. It was medical marijuana prescribed for legitimate medical purposes.
My weed addiction, namely. Anyways, okay. So... Okay, so yeah, when I get stoned, I kind of space out, typical shit, and I wasn't really paying attention while they were having some conversation, and then I think, Jeff mentioned, I just heard the word sister, and me being the dick that I am, I just said, "What about me fucking your sister?" Not knowing that they were related. So I did not know any greater context of a relationship between this man and a person who I had coital relations with.
Okay, so you did not know... That she was his sister.
Not only did I not know, he knew that what had occurred. So he knew
that you had had sex with his sister.
So not only did I not know.
Oh, wait. He knew that you had been raped by her. By his sister.
I don't know if
you
knew the whole rape thing, but okay. So not only did I not know that he was related, I did not know that he knew. And so that he was kind of like, why you gotta be an asshole like that? And so my instant response was just me trying to be funny. I'm like, it's okay, dude. I fully paid for the abortion. Yeah. No, exactly.
That's awesome. So you know, then, he actually I think he did tell me about this story. I don't think it was on the podcast. But yeah, I think he mentioned the story.
Okay, so he then leaves, pissed off, because, like, you know, I guess he, I don't know, I mean, he's not going to kick my ass or anything, but I asked my buddy Boydson after he leaves, like, dude, was...
Andrew Boydson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so I, like, was Macabre, like, really, really pissed off? I'm like, dude, do you know... I didn't know, actually, I did not know his last name was Macabre. I should also note that, so I don't think
it's just Jeff. Hey, Jeff, why is Jeff so mad?
And I was like, hey, dude, why was that dude so pissed off? Like, dude, do you know who that was? I'm like, no. That was so-and-so's sister. I know, older brother. And it's like... And that's when I completely just, like, I had, like, I don't know if you know about meme faces or anything.
Wow.
But I was that shit and I was like, oh, God, why?
And, well, like, you know, that's, go ahead. I'm
and
sorry.
I'm literally, like, I'm pacing around, like, Andrew's bedroom, like, for 30 minutes. Like, I'm at some point, I'm in the fetal position because I'm just thinking, holy shit, oh, my God. Like, that was the most awkward thing I had ever experienced in my life.
Like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I did not, did you, have you talked to Jeff since then?
Yeah, like, it was, like, I actually, I think it was, like, around, like, a half an hour after I finally calmed down, I Facebook messaged him and said, yeah, like, you know, I had no fucking idea, dude. And, you know, I think we were able to bury the hatchet. He actually ended up doing a show that I, like, you know, produced at Fresno State, like, a month later. So yeah. I think the hatchet's buried, but it's not like we're, like, on the, you know, buddy text-to-text basis.
All right. Well, you know, other than the fact that you got to have sex, that actually sounds like the kind of thing I would do. I have this talent for saying the wrong thing at the worst possible moment.
Oh, yeah.
It's some like when the I was in the Navy at the time, but when the Value Jet plane crashed in the swamps in like Florida or something, so I had heard this joke about two alligators were talking. One of them was like, "Let's go get something to eat," and the other one's like, "Oh, well, this is called Value Jet; they deliver." And I thought this was a funny joke, so you know, I'm sitting on the in the galley. I'm in the Navy, and I was just talking to some guys they're on my ship, but I didn't really know them. I was like, "Oh man, I heard this really funny joke today. These two alligators are talking, and one of them's like, let's get some food. And the other one's like, nah, let's just call Value Jet. They deliver." And then one of the dudes sitting at the table just, like, puts his fork down. And what? And one of the other guys at the table says, his uncle was on that plane.
Oh.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
I just have that talent to say the worst possible thing.
Clearly.
So I understand exactly where you're coming from on this. And in Matthew's defense, I think he was channeling me at that time. Just the fact that I'm somewhere within the tri-state area, other people kind of absorb my awkwardness and inappropriateness.
Like, I need to call
so just blame me.
Next time I get that, I got to call the exorcist. You know, okay, exactly. I got it. Yes. Like, and Jeff, you know, I hope everything's cool. I wouldn't have said anything if he had not mentioned it. So
yeah,
and, you know,
this is totally my fault, and I will be apologizing to Jeff McCollum.
Most respect to you and to your sister. And if you want to be cool,
I'll apologize to your sister for calling her a rapist.
Don't share this information with anybody. Like, you know, don't tell her. Okay, that'd be cool because I don't need to like re-bring up that. You know.
By the way, this entire story is fictional. This we made all of this stuff up. None of it really happened.
Absolutely.
Jeff McCollum doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
There is no Jeff McCabe.
Last week it was
there's
just me.
There's a spoon, but there's no Jeff McCabe.
Exactly. Last week was just kind of me pretending to be Jeff McCabe. Exactly. Completely different voice, you know.
Yeah, there's no Jeff McCabe. Jeff McCabe, he's in a band called Iwanaga.
Yep.
And I found a couple of their songs on a website. I'll be putting a link in the show notes of episode 57 that he was a guest on. I'll be putting a link to the website where I found it, ReverbNation.com. And I'm sorry, ReverbNation.com/Iwanaga. It's kind of cool music. It's like rock with horns.
Yeah, pretty much. Kind of like a jazz rock kind of like mixture. Like
yeah,
you take
yeah.
away the talent from both parts of it, and you kind of just clump them together.
Oh, come on, be nice. Well, you know they're better than I am. Of course, I don't play any musical instruments. I can't keep time. I I even turn the metronome off when I record my podcast.
Lack of rhythm. That's that Jewish quarter in you, right?
Exactly. It's a one quarter Jewish.
You sure tried haggling to a dime. Couldn't get it done. Not Jewish enough.
Nope, not Jewish enough. Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Matthew Malanche, the Ronche Malanche. We are the Bit of Comics. We'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Matthew, the Ronche Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, now, you mentioned in that story that you were produced a show at Fresno State. You're a student at Fresno State now.
Yes.
You're a senior now?
I actually graduated in May, but I'm back taking classes to get my teaching credential.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, so you were doing postgraduate work.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Now, what kind of show was it that you produced? Was it just a comedy show, the music? What?
Yeah, because I'm part of this club on campus, the Professional Communication Association.
Okay.
And for a fundraiser, like, we put on a stand-up comedy show because, you know, I had comic friends, we had enough equipment, and we kind of just used the free speech area on campus. So it was like an outdoor nighttime show, really cool atmosphere.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was like a nice little fundraiser, you know, made it decent.
Well, I want to thank you for thinking of me as one of the comedians as you're putting on a comedy show. I really appreciate it. Oh, wait, no, you didn't invite me to come out there. How come you never invite me to any of your crazy college parties?
Well, this specific one, like, the show was basically, it was like all college students. It was like basically me, Andrew Boydston, Daniel Dye, who the fuck else was in that show? It was a couple of months. Nate Fallon, Jeff came in, and then I, for, like, you know, just bringing a crowd, we also had Chris Cruz.
Okay, so basically what you're telling me is that you don't want the creepy 40-year-old dude around.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
All right, I understand right. that.
At least we can,
well, you know,
like,
it really kind of sucks for me, and, you know, I'm gonna whine for a minute now. Oh, poor me. And, you know, don't bother feeling sorry for me if you don't want to.
It's just the Jewish quarter, I understand.
But, you know, I joined the Navy pretty much right after high school. You know, I got out of high school in June, and that December I left to go to boot camp, and so I never had the crazy college experience. Now everyone says, "Oh, well, you were in the Navy, no, you girl never report and all that other crap." Yeah, everyone else, but I've never been the big partier type. Mm. You know, I never had the confidence to go out and do all that kind of stuff. And now that I'm I'm a little more outgoing, I guess. I've kind of broken out of my shell. I'm too old to go do all of the crazy stuff that everyone else in the world did.
Yeah.
I've taken my girlfriend to nightclubs a couple times. She's 41. I'm 40, and we went to Club Rome about 3 or 4 months ago.
You
and
guys.
I just felt really awkward there. I don't like dancing anyways.
You're more out of place than brownies at a KKK. Like barbecue, right?
If by brownies you're referring to black people and just using a sweet slur, yes, that's right.
All
right. If you're talking about the delicious snack cake, I think those are in the right spot no matter where they are.
For sure they have Rice Krispie treats instead.
So that's a good point. No chocolate chips in those.
Nope.
So, you know, it just beyond the fact that I don't like dancing, I have no rhythm, and all that, I just felt so out of place, and I always have every time I've gone to a nightclub. Even when I was younger, I felt out of place when I went to nightclubs. But I do feel like I really missed out because I don't have any stories about wild parties that I've ever been to in my life. I have stories about awkward situations that I've unintentionally created, similar to the one that you're talking about. But I don't have them associated with the cool part of it, which is I got laid and then this awkward thing happened. No, there's no I getting laid part. There's just the awkward thing. And so it is kind of a drag. I do understand. You're right to not invite the creepy 40-year-old dude to the college party. Because, okay, you remember the dude who supposedly was bullied into killing himself at some college back east a few months ago? I don't know the whole story, so I'm not here blaming anyone for anything. But the roommate supposedly was recording him. That the guy who was supposedly bullied, he brought some creepy 40-year-old dude home.
Weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's, you know, okay, maybe he's gay and he's this new thing and he's not sure what he's doing. And you know, I am a 40-year-old dude and I'm creepy looking, but I am not creepy.
Oh, no,
I would like to be nice creepy. Guy. I'll be honest with you. I would like to be the creepy 40-year-old dude. And a realization I came to a while ago is that I am the creepy uncle in my family.
Okay.
You know, all my brothers and sisters, and I have 7 brothers and sisters. Jeez. Other than the youngest one, my sister Holly, she's 24, I think. She's not married, but all the others are married, and most of them have kids. Mm-hmm. And here I am, 40 years old. I've never been married, don't have any kids. And so it's like every family has a creepy uncle. You're and if you look around and you can't think of, you look at your brothers and sisters and your cousins, you can't think of who the creepy uncle is, you're the creepy uncle.
There you go.
Okay, and I realize that I'm the creepy uncle.
That's fair. And like, it's not so much that I have a problem with you going to parties, it's just, you know, the 19 to 22-year-old girls that
yeah, they're gonna. Now, if I were rich, they would not. The 19 to 20-year-old girl would not have a problem with me being at the
party.
No,
you'd have some 19-year-old looks around your cock right now.
Yeah, probably. I would be pulling up in the Ferrari.
Yep.
And they'd be like, hey, how you doing? What are you doing here? Oh, well, you know, I was just out driving my Ferrari around. Oh, really? Welcome to the party.
It's like,
you know,
just 0 to pussy in 2.3 seconds.
Exactly. That's pretty good acceleration.
Yeah.
How many horsepower does that require? All right. You did that show. Have you produced any other shows on the campus, or is it just the one you did for your club?
We're trying to make it maybe like a every semester thing.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see. Like,
in well, the you're going to be graduating pretty soon. Are you handing this off to future generations of club members?
It depends who's still in the club. Yeah.
Because I when I was going to Fresno City College, I started a film club.
Okay.
But I didn't really have very many members in the club.
Right.
And then there was nobody, when I was leaving the school, there was no one interested in carrying it on to the next year. So the club lasted as long as I was there, and then it just kind of died. And I imagine a lot of college clubs end up being that way.
Probably,
where they last as long as the person who started it is still there at the school.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of how it was for me this summer, actually. In my hometown up in the Bay Area, I started an open mic.
Yeah.
And, like I left a week ago, and there was supposed to be an open mic this last Wednesday when I wasn't in town.
Yeah, and it didn't happen.
I don't know what happened to the venue or something like that, but I had, like, a guest host, like, you know, set up and everything. But, like, I'm trying to keep it alive, but I'm trying to see how hard it is actually to do when I'm not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, the with you not being there, I expect it to not happen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like this podcast, when I first started doing it, I was doing it with Terry Michaels and John Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean this as an insult or a knock against either of them. The show was always, it was my idea and it was my baby. And if I don't show up, the show would not happen.
It's like the Colts without Peyton Manning. Gotcha.
Yeah, I was the one who was really kind of the driving force. You know, I asked them to come do it, and so it was always it was always my show. And I don't mean to be, I don't mean to sound, oh, this is my show kind of thing about it. It was always more important to me. And like that open mic, it seemed like it was always more important to you than anyone else. There was no one else around who it was important enough to them that they were willing to take over running it, since you weren't going to be there. And you can't really run a show gone.
No, 200 miles away.
Unless you can find a specific person where they're gonna take care of things while you're away. It's like the Wednesday night shows at Ty Palms that Aaron Stewart had done for like 3 years.
Right.
He's got specific people hosting each week now.
Yep.
He's not here doing it anymore. He's mostly moved down to LA, you know, working on his comedy career. But he's been able to maintain, keep that show going. I don't know if it's him or if it's the owner of the club who decided to do the work. But they've got, like, Chris Cruz, I think, is doing one week each month, and Byron Campbell's doing one week each month, and
Boydston has
Andrew
one.
Boydston and Ricardo Duran,
yeah,
and. So they got people to agree to do the work. I wish they'd asked me. I would have loved to have one of those nights. But you know, they got people to agree to do the show. So that's the only reason it's continued. If they hadn't been able to, and if that open mic is going to continue, you're going to have to find a person who's willing to say, yes, I will show up and do it.
And I have like a string, like a rotation of comics that I became close with during the summer.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, like, you know, the first time I'm not there, I guess, like, you know, things were bound to, like, maybe not be as, you know, solid. But hopefully, you know, You know, but yeah. Hopefully next week he'll be better off. You know, we'll see.
So you just got back into town?
Yeah, I was in the Bay Area all summer. Had a lot of fun.
That's where you're from, right?
Yeah, I was born in Oakland. I was raised in this small town called Albany, which is like this like politically sensitive northern offshoot of Berkeley, which is why I call it Berkeley's clit.
Okay. Well, I got to ask you, why did you go to school in Fresno? Because there's plenty of colleges up there. Did you just want to be away from your parents? Well, and, you know, I'm an adult now and kind of be on your own kind of thing, which I would understand. That's reasonable. I mean, that you're, you know, you turn 18 and you're what, 22 now?
I'm 21.
21 now. Yeah. So, you know, once you turn, you go to college and a big part of college is learning, you know, cutting the purse strings
yourself,
and, or cutting the apron strings and being more independent. So that's a legitimate reason if that's why.
Well, it was a mix of three things. There was that. There was also the fact that I didn't have the 4.2 GPA to get into UC Berkeley because Cal's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And then actually Fresno specifically was because actually I was supposed to originally play football here.
Oh, okay.
I got an opportunity to redshirt and long snap. Like, you know what a long snapper is, like on punt formation, okay? But then I had a couple wrestling injuries my senior year in high school, so that delayed that process. Freshman year, I discover rugby, and I fell in love with the sport. So I never really looked back. I mean, there was a time when I was thinking of transferring out of Fresno because I didn't know anybody. It was hot as hell here because it's fucking been 100 plus the past like 2 weeks.
Yeah, more than 2 weeks for like the past month at least. Yeah. It's been 100 or more.
Do you know
and it's gonna be 100 or so for at least another month probably.
Do you want to know what the hottest it was this summer in Berkeley?
80.
78.
I hate you. Get out of my fucking house.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like I was wearing my blazer every fucking day. I haven't worn my blazer. I always wear a blazer. I haven't worn my blazer once here.
I really miss my leather jacket.
Yeah.
I have this leather jacket that I've had for a long time now, and when I was living up in Seattle, I got to wear it almost all year long. Mm-hmm. When I was living in Houston, I only got to wear it for a couple days during the winter if it rained. And, you know, now here in Fresno, I never get to wear it. And I really like it. It's comfortable. It's heavy. I think it looks good.
Yeah.
You know, other people think it just adds to the creepy appearance. But I think it looks good. And I never get to wear it now because it's too friggin' hot here all the time.
Here's a fucked up thing, though.
Like, plus, my girlfriend hates it.
Yeah.
She hates everything I do. I never realized how completely incapable of conducting my own life I was until I got a girlfriend.
Yep.
Apparently, everything I've ever done in my entire life is
wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. She hates my shoes. She got pissed. she hates my shoes. No, seriously, I always wear these black steel-toed boots. And you know, ever since I was in the Navy and this giant steel plate got dropped on my foot, and because I was wearing steel-toed shoes, I was able to pull my foot out of the shoe instead of my foot having just gotten cut in half.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I always wear steel-toed shoes.
Can't blame you there.
And so now, I always wear steel-toed shoes, and she hates them. She says they look, and I'm quoting here, fee-doo-dee-doo.
Fuck does that mean?
I don't know. I'm not entirely certain what that means. There's two words. There's two words that she likes to use to describe me and how I look and how I dress. There's fidu didu and there's ghetto. That she anytime she dislikes something or thinks something is not just that something is low class. She thinks it's ugly or she doesn't like it. She'll say it's ghetto.
God, your World of Warcraft addiction is so ghetto.
Yeah, pretty much. I should go back. Yeah.
Or like fidu didu. That's like some fucking like, you know, Mork and Mindy nanu nanu kind of shit.
Yeah, kind of. It's like your shoes are fidu didu. I was, you know, when she first said it, I thought maybe it was something in like she was just speaking Filipino at me. She's Filipino.
Oh, okay.
Tagala, I think, is the name Tagali, of the language.
Okay, like
Tagali. I think that was the name of the language. But yeah, I thought she was just speaking in Filipino to me. That's fidu didu.
Yeah, maybe fidu didu is
like... They look so fidu didu.
Yeah, maybe that's Tagali for you're not getting laid wearing those.
That might be it, actually. That might be it, because... I tried leaving them on when we had, and she wouldn't go. Ooh, for, no, take those things off.
Circle slash boots or shoes.
Yeah, circle slash boots. Take the steel toed shoes off. But she's still mad at me now.
It's like she have like a fucking tramp stamp like on her lower back. It's a
circle slash in the boots. On. I'll just get her a T-shirt and have that put on the back.
There you go.
I don't know. You know what? I like them. They're comfortable to me. And okay, you know what? I will be the first to admit that they don't match everything that I wear. And maybe I do look a little goofy when I'm wearing steel-toed boots and shorts.
Yeah, sure.
And
why
khaki
not?
Shorts.
That's
okay. Yeah, I'm goofy looking. I don't care. and you know she wants me to. You know, it doesn't look good, and it reflects poorly on her. Apparently, actually, this is something my brother Jacob, his wife, said that his appearance reflects on her. So that's why she makes him, you know, she wants him to dress this way, and like she trims his eyebrows. I mean, she trims his eyebrows, and Marie has told me to trim my eyebrows, and she said, well, she's offered to do it for me. She makes me color my hair.
I think it's all a status class thing, quite frankly, because I mean, looking back in high school when I was like, you know, a star wrestler, captain of the football team, like I didn't take care of any of this shit. Like my hair was all really long. My daily wardrobe was my Letterman's jacket and whatever PJs I went to bed with. That did not stop any of those teenage dicks staying on my cock. Okay, that did not stop any of that. So I think it's just as we grow up, it just becomes a class thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is JT Foreman here with Matthew the Ronche Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Matthew Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, so let's go on to I'll stop whining about my relationship now, and let's move on to some news. often we have a 559 text of the week, but I went to the website textfromlastnight.com, and I'm afraid we don't have anything new and exciting from the 559 area code.
I got one for you.
Oh, you got a text message?
It's not 559. It's actually a text. Like, it's not a text from last night. It's a text my buddy actually sent me recently.
Yeah.
That might as well be on that fucking website. And basically it read, "My girlfriend just sent me a picture of her pussy, but I'm watching a documentary on leprosy. My penis is so confused."
I can understand that. That's understandable. I mean, well, wait. What was falling off?
I don't know. In the leprosy video. It's just a matter of, like, you know, losing your limbs. Like, are you really going to be getting a boner anytime soon when you're, like, watching a thing on leprosy?
Well, you know, they say that fear can cause arousal.
Oh, you get the fear boner?
And so that's why some people, like, you know, they jerk off to Shark Week.
You're off the Shark Week.
Yeah, there you go.
They walk in the dark alleys, wait to get mugged, and then just fucking. That's how they get out of it.
Your money or your life. I got something else for you.
Give my money shot.
Yeah, money shot or your life. Your money shot or your life. That's gross.
That's nasty.
That's nasty. All right. Well, moving on. The Olympics just ended. Mm-hmm. Oh, boo.
Oh no.
Oh, sport is over
now. Sports that no longer matter for another 4 years are pretty much a waste.
Perfect
advertising time.
As unexciting as some of the Olympics really are.
Women's shot put. Enough
there
said.
You go. There you go. I'd rather they just have a throw your husband out of the house event. I think that would be a good one. I think they need to start a new Olympic masturbation. I think I could do that. We could have two events, one for speed, one for distance.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you bother with the accuracy of the one, though, because how do you really control the direction that goes?
That's not as much skill as just luck. I mean, I got...
Yeah, pretty much.
You can't really go to the shooting range.
Cut her in the eye, yes! Yeah, I'd love to go to the shooting range.
I think they frown upon that.
Yeah, they don't like that at all. But looking at... there's an article on CNN.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes, of 10 of the oddest sports that have ever graced the modern Olympics. Some of them actually were featured in the London 2012 Olympics, but some of them, thankfully, for not. One of them here, solo synchronized swimming. Okay, let's examine this. All right, the swimming, okay, swimming, fine.
Yeah.
Swimming event. Solo synchronized.
What the fuck do you do? Are you just like doing the
solo synchronized.
I think that's what old people do for working out when they're in the pool, right? Like that whole do the aerobic, you know, YMCA Macarena shit.
Solo is one person.
Yeah.
And synchronized is when you take multiple things
and make them work together.
So solo synchronized.
It's only for conjoined twins.
I'm gonna swim exactly the same way that I do. Wait, what? So I mean, I think everyone should just get a 4.0. on that. You know, everyone should get 4 stars every time, because they are perfectly in tune with themselves no matter what they do.
I honestly mean, it might be like, you know, an acceptance sports for just like, you know, conjoined twins, because technically they're one entity.
Oh, maybe that's what they do. Yeah. It's for conjoined twins. You know, solo synchronized swimming is it's a sport only for conjoined swims because you're two people, but there's only one body there. So, all right, yeah. So, solo synchronized swimming, that must have been for
bipolar people or something like that. You got multiple personality syndrome.
You see if your multiple personalities can continue doing the same routine as. Well, unfortunately, there will not be any solo synchronized swimming in the London Olympics, or there were not. The event was discontinued after 1992 because the inventor of the event was arrested by the oxymoron police. Next, we have club swinging. Club swinging debuted in 1904. The description here, the athlete stands erect. Is that what club they're using? I don't think so. Holding clubs that resemble bowling pins in each hand. He then twirls and whirls them around. The more complicated the routine, the more points he wins. This sounds like, you know that dance thing do with the ribbon?
Yeah.
But you're holding bowling pins instead.
Well, it was 1904 the last time they did it, right?
I mean, well, 1904 is when it debuted, and they stopped doing it
when the Stone Age ended.
Club swinging was only in the Olympics twice, ending in 1932. So I guess they only did it in 1904 and then 1932, and they haven't done it since then.
It's not surprising in the least bit.
And I think the reason they stopped doing that is because a whole bunch of bowlers kept throwing their balls at the performers in the show, at the athletes.
Yeah.
That would be a cool sport. You got to do the dodge club bowling. Swinging while you're dodge bowling.
Oh,
dodge bowling. That's better than dodge ball. Is dodge bowling? That'd be awesome.
Some real fucking injuries.
Yeah, that's a real sport.
Yeah.
Next, we have tug of war.
Not a sport. That's an event you do in summer camp.
Yeah, actually, that is an event you do in summer camp.
Hey, we'd be probably good at it too. A couple fat guys at the base.
Well, Great Britain actually won the most medals in that event, according to the historian. So, you know, that's the London Olympics. I think they should have brought it back just this time so that London wouldn't be totally blown out. Actually, London did pretty well in the Olympics this time. Number one in the medal count was the United States. Number two was China.
China, of course.
I don't remember who was third after that. But London didn't get totally blown out the whole time. So, but tug of war was an Olympic event until 1920. And was then relegated to the church picnic circuit.
Yeah, right.
next, live pigeon shooting. they should be doing that in New York now.
Yeah, seriously.
The 1900 Olympics in Paris had the great distinction of being the first games when women competed. It also wore the ignoble badge. That was the only time they did the 1900 Olympics was the only time they did the live pigeon shooting. Nearly 300 birds were slain, historians say, leaving a bloody, feathery mess. The winner shot down 21 pigeons. Now, here's the thing with that. I don't understand how you would do this event. Because, okay, you take 300 birds, you throw them up there, and everyone shoots. How do you know who shot down what?
I don't know. I guess I couldn't tell you. Maybe they had different colored bullets.
I guess so. Maybe so.
I'm just wondering. I guess this is way before PETA ever existed, because nowadays that shit would not fly.
Yeah, pigeons not fly, but I'm bummed.
Oh, found a pun within my accidental pun.
Is that why is that why it's called a clay pigeon now when you pull?
Huh.
Because maybe they used to shoot down real pigeons.
That's an
interesting
point.
They use a clay pigeon.
That very might well be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they did not. That was the only time they did the pigeon killing.
Poor people need fun, too.
That's right. Next, the swimming obstacle course.
That actually seems like it might be interesting.
The obstacles swimmers had to overcome were really unusual. In the 1900 games in Paris, swimmers crawled over boats, swam under them, and climbed a pole, all while swimming 200 meters in the Seine.
The Seine River in Paris.
Yeah. In Paris. No, the boats, they will not be doing this in London, so the boats on the Thames River will be safe. You know, I think that would be kind of cool. And after they finish the swimming obstacle course, we can do the skiing scavenger hunt. We can put people on snow skis and have them go around and search for stuff. It's like, I want a roll of duct tape, and I want the 1968 album of the Beatles. What album was in 68? Anyway, I want an original of the White Album of the Beatles. Yeah, give them just a whole big long list of weird stuff to go find, and but they have to do the scavenger hunt on skis. That's in the 2014 Winter Olympics. I don't know where they're going to be. That's what they're going to have. Cold. The skiing scavenger hunt. Next, roller hockey. Well, here's the weird thing. Now, I would expect this in the 70s. But roller hockey actually debuted in the 1992 Barcelona Games.
I guess after the Mighty Ducks movies, you're like, hey, we might as well make this popular.
Yeah. The game... yeah. Wait, what?
I don't know. I was just joking around. But, like, it's kind of sad that roller hockey no longer exists, but field hockey is still prominent in the summer games.
Yeah. Well, you know, it follows the exact same rules as ice hockey.
Yeah.
But it's on roller skates. And you know, is it on roller skates or is it on roller blades? I think if it were on roller blades, that would be cool.
I think it's blades. It's skates, and it's not like one of those little kids four-wheeler things where you're basically on little cars.
Yeah. Barcelona Games was the only time roller hockey was in the Olympics, so no luck with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Next, this was a French thing, Le Con. Like, okay.
Think James Caan.
Fencing. Think fencing. Take away the saber and replace it with a cane. Like, you know, the one old people used to walk with.
Mm-hmm.
And voila, you have the French martial art, Le Con.
So it's kind of like that scene in Dumb and Dumber. Like when they're like all dressed up in their tuxedos and they're like, cane fencing.
Exactly. They did not have that one in the London Olympics. But just you could watch like normal fencing or saber fencing and just imagine they have wooden sticks instead. Or imagine they're in Indonesia and some kid got caught for spray painting cars. This is a callback to a news story from like the early 90s or mm-hmm. something. It's some kid got spray painting cars and he was sentenced to be caned. Someone takes a big giant stick and smacks him on his bare ass like 10 times.
It'll only be better like if like you know while they're fighting with their canes in the sport, they have to make like lightsaber noises.
Room, 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 room. I think the Jedi kid from that YouTube video should participate in that particular event. But unfortunately, that's not in the Olympics anymore either. Rope climbing. You remember when you're in elementary school and they had the rope that was attached to the roof of the gym and they had to climb up it?
Mm-hmm.
I could never climb up that rope.
I did it once.
And you always had to do it in front of everyone. So if you weren't able to actually climb the rope, you were being humiliated in mm-hmm. front of the entire class.
Pretty much. It's something like, you know, don't be so fat, asshole.
Exactly. This was... debuted as an Olympic sport in 1896, and climbers were they timed to see how fast you can climb up the rope.
Makes sense.
The athletes didn't run out of steam before reaching the top, even though I always did. After 1932, the Olympics dropped that.
It seems like when the Olympics were first starting off, it was pretty much just PE for adults. The way the different events
kind
are happening.
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. It was like, well, what do we
like
do?
Like, you have tug-of-war, fucking...
They didn't have much of a budget.
Rope climbing.
Yeah, well, see, they didn't have much of a budget, so they had to multi-purpose all of the equipment.
I guess.
Like, what do we got? What do we got? Okay, well, we got... we can get a bunch of pigeons from downtown for free. Okay, we'll shoot them. Have everyone bring their own guns. Americans will love that. We like guns.
And then we
else we got? We got a rope. Okay, well, we're going to have to multitask this. We can do a couple of things with a rope. We'll have a tug of war, and we'll make people climb the rope.
Let's just be glad that autoerotic asphyxia wasn't around back then. That would have been an Olympic sport too, probably.
Yeah, probably. And that one you'd go for both speed and distance as well. next, we have trampoline.
Trampoline.
Like, you know what you do when it's hot. Take the trampoline, out. Somersaulting, and flipping.
That's okay. Retarded.
Yeah,
when was this? I have to ask. What year was this exist?
It debuted as an Olympic sport in 2000, and it is still an Olympic sport.
And rugby still has to wait another 4 years.
Yeah.
That is depressing.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Rugby is a British sport, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it should have debuted at the London Olympics. This is bullshit.
Yeah,
you know they don't have baseball anymore in the Olympics.
No, I guess you're right, but
they have basketball.
Yeah,
and they have soccer, but they don't have American football.
I think basketball might. I mean, because there's money in that. I guess there's not enough money in rugby. Baseball, you think there would be money in it, but if you're already good enough to play like in the Olympics, chances are you've already been drafted by an MLB team.
Yeah, that's true. Well, see, the baseball season is going on. As the
yeah, that's true happening. Too. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's probably why, because you know basketball season is not in progress during the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and so you get. You know, LeBron James and all these other dudes that going to...
Of course, wasn't this supposed to be initially for amateur athletes, not professionals?
It was originally, but what happened was...
Corporate sponsorship?
No. Actually, what happened was, like, an NBA player from Yugoslavia or something.
Oh, okay.
And Yugoslavia is like, well, we got him on our team. Well, he's a... And the Americans was like, but he's a professional athlete. Well, he's not a professional in our country. And so the Olympic Committee said, all right, we'll let professional athletes in. And then the United States said, all right, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird, you know, everybody.
Thus was the dream team.
yeah, so like the Olympic basketball competition is a race for the silver medal now.
That's completely
because
years,
it's like... I think it was Argentina. The U.S. team won like 157-73 or something crazy like that. Like
80-point margin.
Yeah, it's like that's insane.
It shouldn't happen.
I didn't know they had that many points. I didn't know that many points existed.
You score that much in 40 minutes or 48 minutes.
And so that trampoline is that one. And finally, we have race walking.
That's a silly one. Like it's like episode of Malcolm in the Middle. I remember.
Well, you know,
doing that shit. Those goofy fucking hats.
Excuse me. Sorry. This list is boring me, too. the difference between walking and running is if you to a race walker, you have to have 1 foot on the ground at all times.
Yeah.
So you can't... If as soon as your whole body is off the ground for even a moment, now you're running, you're not walking anymore.
Is it a performance enhancer if you have to take a shit really bad?
Yeah, if you get, I gotta go. it's like you drink like 5 glasses of water an hour before the event,
okay.
And so you gotta pee really bad. So and of course because you have to keep at least 1 foot on, you give this really weird butt waggle as you're as you're walking that makes everyone giggle. I think that's the real reason that that they kept that event. Now here's my complaint about it. Now I like butt wagging as much as the next guy, but why are there 2 events for men but only 1 for women? I would think that, okay, men, because there's a 20-kilometer and a 50-kilometer race for men and 20-kilometer for women. I want more women butt wagging. I think we should have a 20-kilometer for men, just have it short, get it over with, get them out of the way so we don't have people bitching at
us. I think this says...
And then for the women, I want a 20-kilometer, a 50-kilometer, a 100-kilometer, a 5... I want all of them you can think of. I want as many women wagging their butts for as long as possible.
They should be dressed, and there should be like a raw race. You have to do it nude.
And we can have Sir Mix-a-Lot act as the judge, and the winner gets to appear in a remake of his video.
Right.
That's going to be the gold medal prize. All right. So those are 10 of the strangest Olympic sports that have ever been. I got that from CNN.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. We're going to take a break real quick, and then we'll get a couple of news stories out of the way before we got to go. This is JT Foreman here with Matthew the Ranche Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Matthew the Ranche Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right, let's do a couple of news stories before we go. Kentucky. What do you think of when you hear Kentucky?
Bluegrass, poor people, chicken.
Chicken. You think of KFC. Well, in Kentucky, some of the cities are a little cash-strapped, so they've had to find new ways to raise funds, and one of them is to sell advertising. Now, it's common to see advertising plastered on buses, but have you ever seen an ad for KFC on a fire truck?
Don't tell me that's happening.
Well, actually, here in this one isn't actually in Kentucky, but this one's in Baltimore. They're considering selling advertising space on city-owned fire trucks.
That is just beyond depressing, actually.
Yeah. You know,
Like, we're becoming the it, like
society. this inferno brought to you by KFC.
Seriously,
is that really what they want to?
We're becoming the society in Idiocracy where anything can be sold. Soon enough, we're gonna have people selling their babies' names for a fucking corporation. You know, it's like, yeah, I named my.
Did they do that in Idiocracy?
Because well, people were named Velveeta and shit like that. I just remember like watching that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, actually.
You know, the guy who always says brought to you by Carlos Jr. because he got paid every time he said it, so he said it like 50 million times.
Yeah, yeah. Brought to you by Carlos Jr. Well, you know, it was Robert Klein had this bit that a long time ago from an album he did like in the 70s yeah, or something, where he talked about. Imagine if when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, he could have just stepped on there and said, Coca-Cola, and he would have been set for life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because how much do you think Coca-Cola would have paid?
Oh
my God. Back then, they probably would have paid $500 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for my first steps on the moon, there's going to be half the population of the Earth is going to hear me when I say it. Everyone in the world is going to know what my first words were when the first band to step on the moon. Everyone's going to know what my first words were. Do you want those first words to be drink Coke? How much is it worth to you?
Dude, if he had thought about that, I mean, because imagine. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, just. Yeah, he could have been set for 100 lifetimes. And he could have made so much money off of it mm-hmm. that they could still have a reasonable space program. I bet that's what's going to happen next. You're going to look at the what they don't have the space shuttle anymore, but whatever the next generation spacecraft is, you're going to look at it and it's going to look like a NASCAR car.
God.
Okay, it's not in the shape, but I'm talking about all of the logos all over. There's going to be stickers all over it, just logos advertising everything you can imagine.
I really want to see GoDaddy.com on Mars.
Yeah. Or like in Mystery Men, Captain Amazing. You know, when you see him, Pepsi has decided to stop endorsing you. And he's like, this is the first I heard of it. And then you see him when he gets in his limo and he rips the logo, the Pepsi logo off of him, off of his chest.
Yeah.
it's going to be like that. You know, the astronaut uniforms are going to have that on them. It's just everything. We're going to get our English textbooks, you know, history of the Civil War brought to you by KFC.
The sporting arena is bad enough, but the fact that it's becoming like major parts of society, like when the corporations start funding our educational system and, you know, fucking hospitals, God forbid, you know, it's disgusting. Yeah. This
health class brought to you by McDonald's. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, they already do the fucking Olympics. Them and Coke. It's hilarious the fact that both McDonald's and Coca-Cola sponsor the Olympics.
McDonald's and Coca-Cola each paid like $100 million to be sponsors for the Olympics. You get all this advertising. You think any of those athletes would be in that good of shape if they ever ate
Big Mac McDonald's and Coke all the time?
Or drank Coca-Cola? No. I mean, if you want to see what someone looks like if they eat McDonald's and drink Coca-Cola,
go to the mall.
Look at me. Okay. That I am what you look like if you eat a lot of McDonald's and drink Coca-Cola, okay? And I do not look like an Olympic athlete. Despite my claim to be an Olympic level masturbator. I am what you look like if you drink Coca-Cola and eat McDonald's all the time. And I'm not gonna be in the Olympics anywhere. I wouldn't qualify for the Special Olympics. Those retarded kids would beat me.
Those turtles are fast.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Those retarded kids would kick my ass if I were to try to compete against them.
And for the record,
I bet even they don't eat McDonald's or drink Coca-Cola.
Fuck that. No, but for the record, don't worry about apologizing to Coca-Cola next week. I think they're doing just fine.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think they need my apologies.
Maybe the retards.
Okay, here's the one. In Kentucky, in some Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee cities, KFC's logo was permitted to adorn several manhole covers and on the new fire hydrants. So, new fire hydrants and manhole covers in some cities in Indiana, Kentucky, and Tennessee. KFC logo.
Are they going to be putting out fires with gravy now or some shit?
They might. Well, I just think it's funny that fire trucks in Baltimore might then be advertising a fried food.
Yeah.
It's like...
There's some irony in
there. Your building is fried? So's your chicken. Yeah, try our new grilled chicken.
It's a disgusting concept, terrible. This whole concept.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I don't... I don't like this advertising on everything. It's like when I was living in Seattle, they had a referendum on the ballot. And I might not have the story completely accurate, but this is pretty close. They had a referendum on the ballot. Mm-hmm. Should we tear down the dome?
The King Dome, yeah.
The King Dome, and build two new stadiums, one for the football team, one for the baseball team, Seahawks and Mariners.
Right.
It was like almost 2-1, no. So the city council decided to go ahead and do it anyways. So they, sold some bonds, raised some taxes, did whatever they did to raise the money to build the new stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
And then they gave the teams the right to name the stadium. The first one they finished was the the baseball field
in Seattle, yeah,
and they gave the Seattle Mariners the right to name the stadium, and then they sold the right to name it to Safeco Insurance for like $20 million.
Yeah,
so now every single time there's a Seattle Mariners game, Safeco Insurance gets their name mentioned.
It's crazy.
And the city, the taxpayers who actually paid to build the stadium, they don't get any of that money and have to pay too much money to go see the games.
It's fucking crazy.
It is fucking crazy. So, yeah, it's advertising on everything, really. And people are like, well, what do you care? Well, it just annoys the shit out of me.
I know, seriously. I'm trying to hook up with a girl, and then, when I pump her up with drinks at the bar, if I get her to my place and she has a tramp stamp of the Golden Arches, I'm going to accept my losses and kick her out of the house because I do not want to be eating that Happy Meal.
Well, the Happy Meal. Well, the KFC's putting their thing on manhole covers. I'm waiting for some gay dude to bend over another gay dude and find out KFC is advertising on that manhole.
Okay.
Yeah, we had to go for the butt joke. Yay!
Well, did you ever notice that most manhole covers are brown?
That's true. They should be advertising for UPS.
Yeah. Ah, see what you did there?
What can brown do for you?
Oh, yikes.
Give me an orgasm and give me AIDS. No, not all gay people have AIDS. That's too far. I'm sorry. I'll apologize to AIDS next week. Okay, next. Next news story. Germans blow off steam with swearing hotline. Two German businessmen have devised a new way for their fellow citizens to blow off some steam. You dial this telephone number and give the person on the end a verbal berating. The swearing hotline, known as Schimpflos, or swear away in German, has operators standing by 7 days a week for frustrated individuals to jeer and taunt using the most unsavory language they can muster.
I just get the same effect, when I call Discover.
Yeah, that's true. You just call your credit card company, yell at them. At least they deserve it.
Yeah, seriously.
But in this, it's like €1.49 a minute.
Oh, really?
To call and yell at someone. And
because it's really just like, it's kind of like it's a modern, like a more technologically based system of this homeless guy I know in San Francisco who for $5 will take verbal abuse.
You know what? That's better than saying, give me a dollar.
Absolutely. It allows it's a win-win situation. This guy gets paid. You let blow off your steam.
Well, what's great is that there's a woman up there who will take that same verbal abuse for $3.85. See, women get paid 77 cents on the dollar.
I see what you're saying.
And so 77 cents times 5 is $3.85. Math joke. I just did it in my head to be able to tell that joke.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can't do that kind of shit.
Math joke.
I studied history for a reason. Math is not my cup of tea.
I like history. I do. I enjoy it. Anyway, let's see. Here's the cool thing, though. When callers are not creative in their cursing or find themselves tongue-tied, the operators on the hotline are supposed to insult them back. Like, that's the third time I've heard that today. Is that all you've got? So you get an argument, too. I don't know if I want to pay €1.49 a minute.
It's cheaper than dating.
That's true. That is true. A lot of things are cheaper than dating, though. I don't think there's much in this world that's more expensive than dating. Because
people prioritize pussy too much.
Yeah,
man.
That's true.
Let them dictate their wallet and their feelings.
I'm addicted.
Fuck that shit.
I'm addicted to the vagina. And I think that's what it is. Actually, there was a couple weeks ago, a guy who was the head of this one Pray Away the Gay organization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those are scared straight kind of stuff.
Yeah, he was doing an interview on some political news show, and he said that he's formerly gay, but he says that he still has homosexual feelings, mm-hmm. and that you will always have homosexual feelings. You know, even the people who go through their anti-gay training, they'll always have homosexual feelings. But see, the way he's describing it, it makes homosexuality sound like it's an addiction.
Exactly. It's kind of like, you know, it kind of...
Get it? An addiction. He is describing it like it's an addiction, because they say the same thing. Like an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. You will always want to have alcohol. You're a coke fiend. Mm-hmm. You will always want cocaine.
Well, it's funny.
You know, you'll never really get over the addiction. You'll always want it.
But those are always choices, and that's kind of the thing. Like, you know, the thing, like what he just said, the homosexuality and the fancy things, that kind of negates the argument that homosexuality is a choice, because
there's a couple things, though. I mean, because the act of homosexuality, whether or not you put your penis into the guy's butt,
yes,
that is a choice.
That is a choice.
The desire. It's like blaming someone because they have homosexual feeling is like being mad at someone because their favorite color is blue.
Yeah, well, the difference between homosexuality and sodomy, okay, the act of itself, sure, just like the choice to fuck, you know, somebody in their pussy, fine.
Well, you know, if you can basically train someone to not be gay, then that means you can train someone to be gay.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I don't think you can train somebody really to, like... You can repress the hell out of something, but it's going to fuck them up
psychologically. Semen is an acquired taste.
Angles. Yeah.
Semen is an acquired taste. You get used to it after a while. You get used to having the dick in your ass. You know, you do it a few times, you know, when your first couple of months you're in prison, it's a little uncomfortable. Maybe there's some chafing, but you know, it's like when you're learning martial arts, right? And you have to just keep punching the thing till the skin on your knuckles is kind of soft and at first, and you keep hitting the thing until, you know, it damages it and it calluses up and it hardens a little bit more, gets stronger and stronger. And your ass is the same way.
It's just something.
It's really sensitive at first, but you just keep pounding. You just keep pounding, and eventually,
it's just something you have to get used to. It's kind of like when you start dating a stroke victim and her blowjobs don't feel the same. You eventually just have to get used to the feel of it.
Yeah, eventually, you do.
That was a horrible analogy.
Yes, that was a horrible analogy.
Slap my wrist.
That's right. I'm going to apologize to strokes next week. All right. And the final news story for the week, the National Health Service in England has banned the use of metal paper clips in their offices because they are considered, quote, too dangerous. Manchester National Health Service Trust officials made the decision to stop the use of the metal stationery item after a member of staff cut their finger using one.
It's the same metal stationery item we've been using for decades, to centuries. Well, I don't want to say centuries, but like, it's simply...
No, centuries.
How many fucking people have died from paperclip accidents? And you know what? Anybody who has, they fucking deserve them. Fuck them. They should be dead, okay? That is Darwinism at its finest, if you can die from such a mundane object.
Yeah. Well, in a memo to staff, it was warned that the use of metal fasteners was, quote, prohibited, and the offending clips must be carefully disposed of immediately. Unfortunately, the memo was actually 4 pages long, and since there was nothing holding the pages together, the last 3 pages of each memo got lost, and all anyone really got was the cover letter. So nobody really knows what they're doing. I guess that's our podcast for the week. Matthew, you got any shows coming up you wanna plug? Anything going on in the near future?
Yeah, sure. Well, technically, you're going to be posting this like after this show.
Yeah, it'll be next Saturday I'll be posting it.
But I will, after this has been posted, I will have just been performing at the Purple Onion in San Francisco, Legendary Comedy Club.
Oh,
you know,
cool.
Richard Pryor, Lenny Bruce, the Smothers Brothers, they've been all there. Jack Galifianakis has his, you know, special there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a legendary place. I'm performing there, and I'm excited. Got to do it in July.
Is that the one where he was sitting at the piano?
Yeah.
And drinking a beer, yeah. That was a horrible show.
I enjoyed it.
No, it was terrible.
Not a fan.
No, you know, I've liked his movies. I've enjoyed his movies, but the stand-up, and I have not seen all his stand-up comedy.
Okay,
I watched like 5 minutes of him. You know, he's drinking, kept stopping and drinking a beer, and while he's playing the piano and making sarcastic comments.
It's very alternative.
And that part, I just didn't think it was funny.
It's kind of like the same. Go back to the stroke victim. It's very acquired.
Yeah, yeah.
And then actual. since that will already be in the future, and hopefully I had a great show. But August 29th, I will be at Ty Palms performing in like the Wednesday Night Showcase.
All right, cool, cool. Let's see, what do I have coming up in the near future? Open mics on Mondays at Ty Palms.
Yep.
And there's a new open mic on Tuesdays at Bottoms Up. It's at Ashland near 99.
Oh, so that's way far out west.
Yeah, okay. It's way out there. And I will be going there this Wednesday or this Tuesday. We'll see how the show goes and whether or not I go after that.
Right. Yeah.
See whether or not I get shot. You know, okay, I'm on Ashland and I'm heading toward it, and you have to go over the bridge. It goes over a whole bunch of road checks just mm-hmm. before you get to 99. Yeah. So I'm going over this bridge, and there on the right side of the street is a billboard that says 10-20 life. Pull a gun, minimum 10 years. Shoot a gun, minimum 20 years. Shoot someone, minimum life. And so I see this billboard informing me of what the penalties for committing gun crimes are. And I thought to myself, well, I guess that's the side of town I'm on now. So that's where the show is going to be. Please don't bring your gun. Please don't bring your gun. Now, actually, everyone, people over there, not everyone has their guns. Only the criminals have guns over there. It's in Clovis where everyone has a gun.
Yeah. So that's why it's so safe, because, you know, if you pull your gun on somebody, you have three people pulling guns on you.
You know, I hear that. I hear that argument all the time. But imagine this. Okay.
World's largest Mexican.
One guy pulls a gun, and he's wants to shoot a bunch of people. He's going to shoot a bunch of people, right? Yeah. And he starts shooting, and then someone else pulls out a gun and shoots him. Well, now someone else, all they know is that someone's shooting. They don't know that the original shooter is dead now. And if a whole bunch of people have guns,
the domino effect of bullets.
You have the potential for a great movie scene right here. Okay, that would be an awesome film. I think we need to do this.
Where's Bobcat Goldthwait to direct this
shit? I think, exactly. Have you seen the movie God Bless America?
Yes.
Oh my God, that was an awesome movie. Yes, I saw it just a couple of days ago. Toward the beginning of the movie, when Frank gives his speech just before he gets fired.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest speeches I've ever heard in my life. You know, I actually had a very similar incident to what he had to deal with. He got fired because, the receptionist in his office had been having a bad day one day. See, he decided he was going to do something nice. He looked up in the company directory, got her address, and sent her some flowers.
Right.
That's sweet. That's a nice thing to do. Someone's having a bad day.
Yeah, of course.
You send them some flowers. She is now scared, complains to HR, and he gets fired for sending her flowers to cheer her up. He gets fucking fired? Here's the similar situation that I had to deal with. This happened at a place where I worked. This girl made a sexually suggestive joke.
Sure.
I made another one back. She laughed so loud that she made me repeat it to another girl there.
Oh, dear.
Because it was so funny. And you want to hear it? And the other girl said, yeah, go ahead. So I told it, and she laughed too. The next day, this exact same girl comes over and sits down next to me before work to talk. And I made a also kind of suggestive joke, but less so. Right. More tame. And she says, I can't believe you'd say something like that to me.
Really?
And goes to the manager and complains.
Wow.
And they're going to write me up for sexual harassment. She brought up the subject of her tattoos. And there was one that was barely sticking out of her cleavage. So I couldn't see what the whole thing looked like. And she told me what she brought up, because she had one on her arm, and she asked me if I had any. We're just talking about tattoos. And so she showed me the one on her arm, and I was like, oh, you see, you have one there. I can't really see. She's like, yeah, I can't show it to you, though. I said, oh, that's okay. I don't want to see it. I'm kind of curious what it tastes like. Okay. That's the joke.
Okay.
And she was like, oh, I can't believe you said that to me. Runs to the manager and complains that I'm sexually harassing her. I think I'm the one who was sexually harassed, because she came over and brought up the subject.
Exactly. It was entrapment.
Yes. So, okay. Anyway, I'm done bitching about that now. Well, hey, Matt, thanks for coming to do the show. I appreciate it.
It's always fun.
Had a great time. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. I'm JT Foreman here with Matthew Malanche. Matthew the Ronche Malanche. We are the Bitter Comics, and I will talk to you again next week. Peace.
Have a good day.